You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here.
Got to run this play in the alley. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us. 865-658-5824. Joined alongside just a few legends in here. We got awesome. Emilio in Tennessee. We got Tim live in Green Bay. And we got Jacob the Beard on the border of Minnesota in enemy territory. Waiting for him to come in with camo on the face one day. You know what I mean? He's been hiding behind enemy lines there.
We'll do that. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Got to keep it out of the beard, though, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's the actual problem, yeah.
I feel like he's done this before, all right? So, We'll kind of get into a lot of different topics today. Got plenty to talk about, man. Some of the draft invites were actually released today. I know, Jacob, you sent me something on Tyke Smith we'll hit on. We got a really cool audio from Ross Tucker and our boy Greg Cosell, the civilian GOAT, talking about DBs in the draft. A really, really cool breakdown there. We put a Twitter poll out asking people to choose between four different cornerbacks. Interesting that one absolutely ran away with it. We had a couple draft experts in there telling people they're stupid for the way they voted. And, of course, Tim had to go in there and bitch slap them a little bit, give them just a little something. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, and we got some responses from the Patreon listeners as well. Excited about that. We got plenty to get into, so we're just going to jump right into it. Why don't you kick things off, though, Tim? I know something kind of big happened today. A legend in Green Bay decided to, hang it up. Is that correct?
Yeah. No pun intended, hanging it up there. There's Red. You're talking about legends, 30-plus years here with the Packers as the equipment manager. And, I put a tweet out today, man. Just think of how many absolute legends this guy suited up for games. Basically been in the business nearly his entire life. I believe his first job, he was like 14 years old starting out. Yeah, and so, 30-plus years here with the Packers. So congratulations to Red Batty, Gordon Red Batty, retiring today from the Packers. So hopefully, we get some nice summer weather here in the next couple months, and he can play a little golf instead of running around Ray Nitschke Field all day long during camp. So congrats to Red for sure.
Yeah, and some people, they kind of look at this stuff and go, he's an equipment guy. All right, gotcha. No, Mike Wall tweeted out, best in the business. Thank you, Gordon. Enjoy retirement. Like, Red Batty is legendary in Green Bay. This dude, like you said, I think in the chat at one point today, you said that he's suited up. You may have said it just now while I was trying to pull up that Mike Wall tweet. He's suited up for two different Super Bowl teams, right? Like making sure those guys have everything they need.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, if you notice, you can just go back, like when there have been those freak equipment issues that are bound to happen during football games. I mean, our guys are right on top of it. And a big part of that was obviously Red being the top dog and the boss. So, I'm sure whoever's next up on the ladder will continue that lineage of excellence. But, you know, these guys got a game to play. And if your equipment's not on point, you guys know how that was. You know, you were athletes at one time. And if your gear's not right, it's hard to be your best. So we can't underappreciate these guys for sure. The behind the scenes legends like Red Batty. So just happy for him and his family. So congrats, Red.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's where everybody wants to get to, right? And what's funny is when someone excels at their craft the way he has, you don't want to see it coming. Mm-hmm. Right. So it is where
he's a legend. That's exactly what businesses are trying to get nowadays, right? You get 25 years old, 10 years experience, dude's already on it. But elite, unbelievable that he's, you know, seen two Super Bowl come through Green Bay, and it's just awesome that you know, that we've had him for so long, he's going to be missed, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. No doubt about it. All right, so a couple other things here. And again, shout out to Red Batty. Appreciate his service here with the Green Bay Packers.
Two Canadian Grey Cups as well, according to Ron Sandville here.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant. I was going to put it on the screen, but then I went, I don't know about Canadian.
Grey Cup is a Canadian.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. So didn't know that, man. Listeners always educating us. I love it, man. So yeah, shout out to Red Batty. Enjoy retirement, sir. Well earned.
Real quick, can I just say one more thing? Like it just now made me actually remember when Tim said that, because I remember we had an equipment manager who was kind of like the towel boy / water boy / equipment manager, but he was so good because there were people forget, dude, you're playing a full contact sport. There was multiple times throughout the year where somebody's face mask would literally get ripped off and they'd have to get the thing fixed, or they'd have to swap helmets, or they'd have to, you know what I mean? And it actually is kind of like I think of it as like a pit crew in a NASCAR kind of thing.
Yep.
Like they're part of the team for sure. Mm-hmm. They're part of that crew. So
absolutely. Yeah. You're known to see Red walking around the sidelines with, you know, two or three different walkie talkies and, you know, earpieces and communication. And that's a great analogy, because just like a NASCAR pit crew, man, like every second counts, like an NFL game. If you got an equipment issue, you can't be burning up timeouts trying to deal with it. So
that's exactly it. The players aren't putting their jerseys on and setting them in the locker, right? They're not putting the pads in the pants. They're not doing any of that. So
yeah, they just show up.
All those guys and knowing how each guy likes his stuff set up, and it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
That's what Mike Wall was talking about. I guarantee you, Coach Lynn knows this as much as anyone. You know, to the best of my knowledge, you correct me in the chat if I'm wrong, Coach Lynn. I'm pretty sure you played Arena League football, I think. And obviously coaching out there on the West Coast now. So you've worked as a coach with trainers, with staff members, equipment managers, all that stuff, both as a player and as a coach. So you've seen it firsthand.
And as a player, honestly, like your trainer and your equipment manager are your probably your two closest relationships, you would think. You see them every single day. You know, you talk to them more than once a day. You talk to them 3, 4, 5, 6 times, go in to get your ankles taped, go back in to get a bag of ice.
The pregame yep. ritual.
Unbelievable.
Definitely. This is interesting right here. Gene Dent in the chat says, Clayton, can you run a draft where you trade up to 16 just to show everyone what it would look like? Also, what it would look, and also how many holes did not get fixed? I think that is a great idea. Will you guys remind me of that, and let's set it up for tomorrow? Because I think that is an awesome idea. If we could somehow, some way force a trade to 16 that's realistic, we can use the trade chart, that type of thing. Because I think you can override trades in some of them.
PFF. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll do that. We'll use PFF and do that tomorrow. I think that is a great idea, Gene. Thank you for the suggestion. Yeah, so we'll definitely get that done. All right. All right, cool. Let's see here. What else we got? So we got some invites, right, to the draft there in Detroit. And basically, Adam Schefter tweeted this out and said, 13 players have accepted invitations to attend the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit 2 weeks from tonight. The scheduled attendees are Quinyon Mitchell, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Darius Robinson, Brian Thomas Jr., Dallas Turner, Caleb Williams, Terrion Arnold, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, Leatu Latu, and then Drake May. So you've got three quarterbacks that are going to be set. I don't think any of those three quarterbacks will be sitting in there like Aaron had too. I think they'll all three be gone by the top 10 at least at a bare minimum. But the one that sticks out to me here, guys, we were talking about him last night and a couple of nights ago, Darius Robinson, right? We're talking about he may go in the second round. He might go in the top 15. Like, you don't know about this guy. He's got that kind of versatility, that kind of size. Some of the comps we were hearing out of the Senior Bowl was to J.J. Watt. Just a dude that can play anywhere on the defensive line. If they draft Darius Robinson, I would be totally okay with it because it tells me that Goody thinks this dude is an impact player right off the bat if they took him at 25. And we've been talking about, you know, who's going to replace Kenny if he doesn't come back next year. Obviously, he's going to be 29 years old anyway. That's a guy who's got the frame that can do it if he can be that versatile and play all the way across the line. And someone that you can also – I got to guard my words here. I'm not saying he's on Chris Jones's level. Please don't take it that way. I'm not saying he's on Quinnen Williams's level. But he's got the type of versatility that if it does click at the next level, then you can put him out there at a wide seven, a wide nine tech, and then kick him into a three or a one, right, and just let him kind of eat. So what sticks out to you here? We'll start with Emilio first. Emilio, what do you think about these attendees? Anything else stand out to you other than Darius Robinson?
Well, listening to a pod earlier, I think it was one of the PFF pod or something. They had Chris Sims on, and he had a take on Drake May that he's like, I think he sees him outside of his top five of quarterbacks. He thinks that his release is a little bit choppy. He's got, you know, kind of three steps to his release, a long delayed release. He thinks that, you know, kind of needs to always step up into the pass, doesn't have those arm angles and things like that. And it's, I just still think it's crazy how many different takes there are on all these people. And it could just be another thing where you get the guy sitting there and the camera's on him until the second round. Right. And we saw that happen last year. So, I think they narrowed it down. You know, we're going to hit on at least 10 of these in the first 15, but just it could be a little dicey once we get past that.
Yeah, Drake May's one of those guys, too, that everyone, you know, I was hearing Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks talk about him the other day, and they were talking to a couple of front office guys, and they were like, yeah, you know, it's crazy. We look back through our notes, and in our notes, when we watched him in person, it was that in their notes, they had just as good as Caleb Williams. And then all of a sudden, you get to the offseason, you get time for the draft, and it's like, well, you know, he's not really on that. What happened? Right. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all, right? So I think Drake May is going to be a great pro quarterback. If he's put in the right system, understand, the best quarterback in this draft could be put in a crappy situation, and we will – Chicago Bears, right? If they don't fix the way they build a roster, and they could do it, they could finally get the ship turned around, but if they don't, whoever it is, if it's Caleb Williams, if it's Jaden Daniels, if it's Drake May that they choose, I think we would all agree it's Caleb Williams. He'll go down with the ship just like everyone else has. What were you going to say, Jake?
I was just going to ask Emilio, was that by chance Chris Sims on PFF's podcast? Is that where you listened to that?
Yeah, I think that was the one.
Because I listened to that too, and he talked about how, yeah, he thinks that he's one of the most natural touch passers over the middle of the field, but there is a lot of like odd situational football where he just doesn't seem like he's a top quarterback. In my opinion, sorry, go ahead.
No, like you said, where he would maybe need to sit for a year and kind of get that sort of learning. Just like he said, when you get thrown into the fire, you're going to have a bad offensive line. You're running around. You have to make crazy plays. You got to avoid sacks. And like Clayton was saying just a second ago, if you're put in a bad situation, it's over.
Yeah, right. That was Mike McCarthy 101. You know, there's no bad players in the league. There's good players. There's great players. And sometimes the difference between a good player and a great player is the position they're put in, right? The situation they're put in. So, since we're talking about Drake May, I've got him in the number five spot. You'll notice the six here. That's just because there's a single placeholder up top. So he's actually in the number five spot for me. So he's going to be in that same tier. And you can kind of see how the tiers are going to separate. 1 to 0 to 5 or 0 to 4.9 is my top tier. So as it sits right now, this is going to shuffle one last time when we get the final points of data in. Joe Walt, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Caleb Williams are in tier one. And tier two will be Brock Bowers, Drake May, Talisi Fuaga. You've got Roma Dunze. And then it'll be Latu, in the number eight spot, and then you'll start tier three. So that's how that kind of rides. So I've got Drake May in tier two, significantly ahead of Jaden Daniels, and I really didn't expect that. I really didn't, but I'm going to stay true to the board here and how we built it. Now, PFF, really good grade in 2022, 2023, you know, almost as good of a grade in 2023. The consensus big board had him number three at the end of the season. And then, of course, the 33rd team had him seventh on their board when I compiled this information before the combine. And then, of course, Daniel Jeremiah had him fourth. So Daniel Jeremiah, even higher on him than I am there. So, all right, back to the attendees, though. Jacob, what do you think here, man? Anything stick out to you about the attendees? Obviously, we talked about Darius Robinson, and we've talked about our boy Drake May.
Yeah, for sure. What stuck out to me is the fact that, once again, we've talked about how many positions of need are going to go ahead of us that necessarily we don't need. So I see one offensive lineman on this list, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
As J.C. Late. You know what I mean? So there's a possibility of – I saw Dane Brugler, which, by the way, that dude, his draft guide, I think, may be – other than maybe PFFs, and I mean, I think it's just top-notch. So if you guys get a chance to check out Dane Brugler's draft guide, it's amazing. I actually listened to Ryan's podcast today where he went a deep dive into the linebacker position. And I know I'm skewing off a little bit here, but it's such a deep dive that the emotional part of me takes over all of the other stuff of me. Like for instance, Edrin Cooper is an outdoorsman who has five dogs who loves to hunt and fish. Put him on the freaking team. Put him on the team.
Trade up the one and take him.
Trade him up to the first round. And a lot of other deep things like that. But for instance, so I was just curious that there wasn't as many offensive linemen because we've been told that they're anywhere from 10, solid five in the top 15, I would say for sure. I don't know. But this is, again, it's so, it's draft season, man. Everything's crazy. So to me though, it was crazy that they had one offensive lineman on that list. I would assume there's going to be more. I would have thought there'd been way more actually coming out. Maybe offensive lineman's not as sexy though. You know what I mean?
Right. And what you're talking about, you said Edrin Cooper was the outdoorsman, right?
Yeah.
You got to be careful with that because last year I was all over Treylon Burks, wide receiver. They were like, this dude hunts wild hogs with a knife. I'm like, that's our guy. Get him in here. What are we doing? What are we waiting on? Absolutely stumped to join up last year. So you're right on the emotional thing, man. I remember everybody talking about Treylon Burks last year. I'm like, this dude he's going to be just a hard-nosed, tough player, that type of thing. So, yeah. Let's see. Coach Lynn in the chat said that little stuff. Oh, never mind.
It matters a great deal. I thought you were dead. Well, I really do think it does, man, because you think about just real quick to hammer in the point, like a guy like Tavondre Sweat, you just can basically wipe him off of Green Bay's draft board because of the fact that he's not a stand-up guy. You look at people like A.J. Dillon where they want to stay around. If you have – you know, people say you don't want to go to Green Bay. Well, maybe you do if you're a hunter, a fisher, and you like the outdoors and you like a small town and you like to have like kind of a simple life. That's the pinnacle. That's the opposite of New York for you. So in some people's eyes, you know, other man's trash and other man's treasure.
Right. And when it comes to J.C. Latham, the one you mentioned originally there, the offensive lineman, I've got him in a 13 spot. He was the 63rd graded tackle in 2022, according to PFF, jumped to 14 in 2023. Consensus big board had him in the 16th spot. The 33rd team had him in the 6th spot. And then, of course, Daniel Jeremiah had him 13th on his top 50 board. Now, the other guy you mentioned was Edrin Cooper. And you guys know we've talked about it a lot. He's really low on my board here. Let's explain why he's low on my board just so we can kind of get a little bit better understanding. He's not quite that low. Let's see here. Edrin Cooper right here. He's in the 83 spot. Now, let's talk about why he's in the positive here. Okay. First of all, Daniel Jeremiah has him 20th in his top 50, right? The 33rd team had him in the 126 spot. Big difference there, 100 spot difference, right? The consensus big board at the end of the year had him in the 51st spot. Okay. PFF last year, he graded out as the second best linebacker, right? Stack backer. But in 2022, the 383rd best linebacker. So the thing that pulled him down on my board is just like Michael Thomas Jr., the PFF grade from 2022 kind of dropped him down. That's something we implemented. We added to the draft board this year because of the Jaden Reed situation last year. We may remove it next year and go, you know what, that didn't work out. It wonkied the board up. Let's just go back to the way we were doing before. I wanted to include the year prior to the year they came out just to kind of get more information in there. So That's kind of where Edgerrin Cooper sits on my board. It sounded like Mike Wall didn't like him that much too. So that kind of, it gave me a little bit of a, you know, it sounded like Junior Colson was his favorite linebacker, which kind of surprised me. But he said the thing with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., he said the same thing. He's like, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is a hell of a ball player. It's just the size that's going to drop him down the draft. You know, so if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was 6'2", I really believe he probably would be a first round pick, like slam dunk. It's just that the size is what hurt him there. So, Tim, as far as these draft invitees, what sticks out to you, Bub?
Just the sheer amount of them, a little bit less than we had last year, I believe. I think they had like 17 or 18 in attendance last year. I mean, that's kind of the norm, though. Not everyone's going to go to draft day, but I think these are all day one picks, no doubters. You know, give or take a few crazy things happening, I don't see anybody having to sit around too long before they get drafted. Actually, a name not on the list, but someone that you just mentioned, Junior Colson, made me think of Jacob was talking about Ryan's pod earlier, doing the breakdown on some of these guys at linebacker. And like Junior Colson's story is crazy. Like, if you guys don't know, what that guy had to do. I mean, he's Haitian born, came to the United States a few years ago, you know, for high school, didn't know English, had to learn a new language, was introduced to, you know, new sports. He grew up a soccer player, you know, introduced to football, you know, right around high school. And here's this guy, you know, about to be more than likely a top tier pick in this draft. So if you like a feel good story, look up Junior Colson's.
We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bio and just do a little reading on him, or listen to Pack Daddy, listen to the pod. Ryan did a great breakdown today.
Yeah. And Tim, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he say that he's the youngest linebacker in the draft, I believe? And
21, yeah.
He is actually like the only, people say the consensus, like, yeah, he's a Mike kind of guy. So for, again, listening to his story, like you talked about, I mean, it was, the guy could only speak like Haitian Creole. So he went and moved to the U.S., somehow was able to adapt a new language and then be the Mike on an NFL or a college level, you know, that's national ranked defense. I mean, the national winning defense. I mean, like you said, man, it's hard to not pull for a guy like that. And the fact again, that he's so young, and Ryan made the the correlation that the Packers love to look at the last year's number one defense when Georgia was just pumping out dudes. Yeah. They were picking off that Georgia tree, picking all the peaches they could. Now I think that they're going to start grabbing Wolverines by the collar. That's what I think. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Jake Shabink in the chat says, I do enjoy the differing opinions at linebacker. That's what's really, really cool about this linebacker class. Like, there's no slam dunk first round pick, you know, but you get these guys kind of jumbled up, and some are mocks, some are will, like you mentioned, you know, the top mocks are Junior Colson and Cedric Gray. And then your wheels, of course, you got your Peyton Wilsons, your Jeremiah Trotter Juniors, those type of guys. It's going to be interesting. But as far as Junior Colson, he comes in the 51 spot on my board right now. He was the 142nd graded linebacker the year before. So obviously, if you compare him directly to our boy that we were just hitting on, gosh, I already forgot his name, Edgerrin Cooper. He was in the 300s, and then of course, Edgerrin Cooper graded out as one of the top linebackers this year. Junior Colson was 52nd. The consensus big board had him in the 85 spot at the time. The 33rd team had him in the 35 spot. He's their top linebacker in the draft. And then Daniel Jeremiah had him come in at 45. So 25, a bit of a reach. If he's there at 41, I'm just telling you, boys, I'm going to be screaming for. There'll be two things I will celebrate the most about this draft. One, if the Packers don't trade up in the first round and take a quarterback. And two, if we take Junior Colson in the second round, I'm going to be fired up. So there you go. Some people are going, why are you still against that, Clayton? Go back and listen to some of the old pods. All right. Yeah. There are divorce papers already drawn up if the Packers trade up in the first round and take a quarterback. So let's see here. Coach Lynn says Nealon and Rosengarten in the 80s, great value. Yeah, Rosengarten's one of those, if I understood correctly, Jake may know the answer for sure. I think I read somewhere that Rosengarten meets every criteria for an offensive tackle for the Packers as far as the thresholds go. So that's a name that kind of sticks out there as far as what they typically like at offensive tackle. Let's see what else we got here. Doug Pointer says, I think the best way to address this event is how Joe Thomas did. He went fishing on Lake Michigan with his dad and brothers. Amen, man. Rather than the limelight and wearing the belly shirt like our boy Ezekiel Elliott in New York, you know what I mean? Joe Thomas just out there catching some fish, hanging out with his dad, his brother, and enjoying the fact that they just became a multimillionaire. It's pretty cool, man. Pretty darn cool. So Emilio know what it's like to be a millionaire. That guy over Moneybags McGee up there. Look at him grinning like a possum.
You see? Yeah, right.
It's got to be. He sleeps in a Lamborghini, bro. He sleeps in a Lamborghini.
Exactly. All right. So one thing that you sent over, Jacob, was this. Easton Butler said the Packers met with Georgia safety Tyke Smith between the Senior Bowl and the Combine. So this wasn't technically a top 30 visit, but again, one of those players that they met with multiple times to kind of – they wanted to, you know, get to know him a little bit better. I'm going to search on my board and try to find him. How do you feel about Tyke Smith? Jacob, I'll start with you, then we'll go to Emilio, and then Tim. I'm eager to get everybody's opinion on him. And if you guys don't have anything on him, it's totally cool. Just say that. There's plenty of prospects in this draft I ain't got nothing on.
No, man. So here's a guy that I honestly do think could be a Packers pick because he's the prototypical Packers pick. He's a guy that has a decent athletic – I shouldn't say he doesn't – you know, I don't quite know his RAS for sure, but I know that he has – okay stats. He's got okay PFF grades. He was at Georgia. He's one of the guys that people may think they can develop a little bit. I think he had up and down grades a little bit. I don't know if you can pull him up at all, Emilio, with anything on PFF, but it just seemed like one of those Packer picks because he went to the Senior Bowl. I don't know, man. It just seems like one of those picks where you'd be like, they pick him in the third and you're like, who is this and why? Like, he's not on my list. Why are they picking him? And I don't know why. It just feels like a pick. I don't personally like him. Or I shouldn't say I don't like him. It's not that I just wouldn't. I wouldn't invest the top, you know, fifth round. It'd have to be past the fifth round for me to take a
spot. I'll tell you, he's a tackler, though. He's a tackler. That's one of his positive attributes. Real aggressive near the line of scrimmage, too. So
he can block.
There you go.
Starting to think, there you go. Jake Shavink hit it on the head. Slot guy, nickel type guy, physical guy, little on the shorter side. I think he's like 5'10", but a tackler. And we've had a lot of complaints in our secondary about guys finishing their tackles. So
have we?
Definitely a positive for Mr. Smith there for sure.
Definitely. Well, you got Emilio. You got him pulled up, buddy.
Yeah, they had him at. He was. Oh boy, never mind. I did have him pulled up, and then he ran away. But they had – yeah, thank you.
Nice segue.
Yeah, messed that one up. So, yeah, Tim was on 5'10". He was 256 snaps in 2022 with a 71.4, and then last year in 2023 was 84 flat with 630 snaps. He did have the fourth most coverage stops last year at 17, but that's just one. That I mean,
there's a lot of junior though. We got an age on this guy.
They say 23.1.
Okay,
mm-hmm. Could be worse, right?
Yeah.
Did he ever play with our boy Stokes?
I'd say probably. Well, you don't know with the portal now, right? It's those guys are jumping around like crazy. I've got him in the 131 spot, and the main thing that brought him down on my board to 131 is, and Amelia, if you want to cross-check it, I've got for 2022, he was the 313th graded corner. Is it around about there? Is that right? Yep. Okay. And then the 34th best in 2023. So took a significant jump there. The consensus big board at the time had him in the 116 spot. The 33rd team had him at 112. He finished with an, I believe, a seven plus RAS. So, 132, that would be what, roughly what round there are we talking? Fourth, fifth round, am I thinking right, Jacob?
Yep, and right here, Ben actually, nice. God, our guys are so good in the chat. For NFL Draft Scout, transfer from West Virginia, projected fifth or sixth round, 4.43, 40-yard dash, 155, 10-yard split.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Ben Holden. You are the man. I love it, dude. Love our freaking listeners, dude. It's like, I don't mean to harp on it, but I love it when a plan comes together. It's exactly what we envisioned for this channel. It was like Packer fans coming together and helping each other. Pretty cool, man. Pretty darn cool. So, all right, so that was Tyquee Smith. Kind of hit on him since we were talking about DBs. Emilio, you got anything else you want to add to the Tyquee Smith before we move on to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast audio here with our man Greg Cosell?
No, just the Draft Buzz had him at overall ranking 160, fifth round pick, position ranking 36. So, I mean, really, his green was a 40 at 4.46. Besides that, just kind of, you know, average numbers right around there.
Got it. Good stuff. All right, so Ross Tucker on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast interviewed Greg Cosell today. There's two segments I spliced together, so it may get a little – you may hear a little hiccup as it transitions to the next one. But he basically talked about cornerbacks and then touched on safety a little bit. Let's hear what Greg Cosell – again, why do we listen to Ross Tucker? Ross Tucker, I think he played for six different teams in the league. He was an offensive lineman. He obviously went in the media business. He calls games for Westwood One. He's also got his own draft podcast. He's just got a ton of stuff that he does in and around the game. If you can go on YouTube and watch some of his old breakdowns when he worked for the Eagles, some of the best tape. It's like 10 years old now, but it's just awesome him breaking. It's kind of like what we do in Chalk Talk, but he really keys in on technique. He had Greg Cosell on. Greg Cosell has been with NFL Films since the 1970s. If you guys have ever watched NFL Matchup on ESPN, he is the senior executive producer of that show, and you'll also see he co-hosts it with Darius Butler, a DB that Coach Belichick drafted and said was one of the smartest defensive players he's ever coached. So, obviously, Greg Cosell in good company all the time. Studied tape with multiple head coaches who had lost their job, went back to NFL Films, spent the offseason kind of studying tape, getting brushed up on stuff. So, he's been able to pick the brains here recently of, like, Steve Spagnuolo, obviously the defensive coordinator of arguably the best defense in the league last year. Greg Cosell knows his stuff. But here they are talking about DBs, cornerbacks, and safety specifically.
But, man, this guy has some explosive ability. What did you see from Cooper DeJean, the corner from Iowa?
You know, I think it's going to be really interesting with him because there will be a lot of teams that will see him as a safety. He's
Oh boy,
he's a little stiff, and that really shows up on tape. I mean, even when he plays press, I mean, he struggles a bit. It would not surprise me if teams see him in safety. In fact, I could easily make the argument that the corner from a year ago at Iowa, Riley Moss, who was drafted by Denver maybe in the third round, if memory serves me correctly, was a better corner prospect than Cooper DeJean. Some might even see him as a big nickel safety. Some might see him as a star playing in the slot. He's a physical kid. He's a competitive kid. He's going to have a workout, I think, in a couple of days because he's been cleared. And my guess is he'll test really well. But there's just a stiffness to him that concerns you a little bit when you see him as an outside corner.
All right. So Cooper DeJean, obviously the talk of the town today. We put out a poll that we'll hit on here. Actually, I can probably pull it up real quick just to kind of give you an idea of how the poll ended up. I asked which DB would you like to have. The majority of Packer fans chose Cooper DeJean, and it wasn't even close at 56%. Basically, the poll was our Packers poll question for the pod. If you had to draft one of these DBs with the 25th pick, who would it be? Cooper DeJean at 56%. Understand we got 1,060 votes, too. Second place was Terrion Arnold at 20%. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 18.5. Those two numbers being close together are absolutely huge because – I can't remember if it's on this audio or not, but Greg Cosell pointed out that Kool-Aid McKinstry is a better press man corner than Terrion Arnold. Terrion Arnold is a better mirror match press man cover corner. And then, of course, Nate Wiggins at 5.5%. So Cooper DeJean ran away with it. But I thought that was interesting what he said there. You guys, I don't want to put you know, words into your mouth or anything like that. But around the horn, Tim, it sounded like he was a little low on Cooper DeJean, didn't it?
At least when it comes to, you know, corner, it looks like, you know, especially a press situation kind of corner. Certainly some teams may see him more as a safety. We've alluded to that before. Doesn't surprise me. And again, this is like Carly Rae was talking with us last night. She made a great point. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, you'd be number one overall. You'd be the last guy drafted. How is your game going to translate to the NFL? And I think with a guy like Cooper DeJean, who's, you know, RAS looks good. His athletic ability is insane. You got to figure a guy like that in the right system is going to be able to find some success and possibly develop into a, you know, one of the league's premier defenders. But yeah, there seems to be a little bit of hesitation there as far as him in that press man situation.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought that was really interesting, man. And again, some people see him as a safety. Cooper DeJean is sitting in the 26th spot for me. He was the 11th graded cornerback, according to PFF, in 2022, dropped all the way down to 151 in 2023. Maybe that explains what Greg Cosell seen on tape when he was studying the tape. You know, sometimes the tape kind of lines up with the PFF grades in that regard. Consensus Big Board had him at 17 when we started this process earlier in the offseason. 33rd team had him in the 33rd spot, no pun intended. And then Daniel Jeremiah had him in the 29th spot. Obviously, he tested out really well. Like Greg Cosell said, they expected him to do. He scored in the nines, both as a safety and as a corner, as far as RAS goes. CG in the chat said, is there any data that shows if Arnold or McKinstry lined up against the opponent wide receiver one most often? Maybe all of McKinstry's stats are against wide receiver twos. I think it would probably be the opposite, CG, and I have no data to back this up. But it's really, when you look at Kool-Aid last year as the season ended and you looked ahead to the 2024 consensus big board, they actually had him in the top 10. And Terry and Arnold was nowhere near that, right? So it's actually kind of made me wonder as I was reading your question, like, what if Terry and Arnold covered the number two or the number three receiver if they're playing a team that their best receiver is in the slot and he's playing on the outside primarily? Kind of made me wonder about that. You may be able to find those stats out there somewhere. So let's see here. Too Much in the chat said, I trust Halfley would know how to use DeJean. Yeah, I imagine he would too. So anything else you want to add to that, guys? Jacob, what do you think about what he said about DeJean? How do you feel about DeJean? Am I wrong in remembering that? Didn't you say you wasn't as high on him? Am I thinking right or no?
See, the thing is I wanted to be. I really did. And I almost got the share in Eric Sutherland thing, but then I got to the end and I really probably shouldn't. But
usually, yeah, at the end of it, it's already on screen. So
in my opinion, the guy is a better box safety slash safety, maybe a slot corner. I watched a lot of his tape. I went back and watched like a lot of his high school, and I hate saying he's not fluid, but he is kind of clunky because he's a boxy guy. Even when you watch him make dunks when he's running basketball, it's very like robotic kind of, but he's an athlete that's just built like an absolute freak, but it's almost like his body doesn't match.
Like what Eric Sutherland was talking about?
A little bit. Yeah, he looks a little clunky, but he looks like he could be an absolute monster at that box safety position. I really do think, because you think about the guys, we've seen this example over the last few years where we think about guys like Kyle Hamilton and Brian Branch and other guys didn't necessarily measure out right, but they were just good football players. Well, this guy measures crazy good. He's a good football player. He just maybe isn't, like you said, that press match corner kind of guy. He just maybe should be able to diagnose. And when he was in high school, he was a safety and he was a quarterback. So yeah. I'm just saying, let the guy do what he's naturally doing. That's what I think. Yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't take him. If he falls to 25, absolutely. I would not trade up to 16 or anything like that to get him. If he falls to us at 25, I'm cool with it. Otherwise, I would not go up to get him. That's my
got opinion.
I like Terry.
You? You got what?
Terry Arnold is my guy.
Is that your big guy? And I'm pretty sure, and we'll kind of get into it. I think Cosell talks about it here in a second. He made it sound pretty obvious that Terry Arnold was his best corner. But then when they got to break it down, he's like, well, it really comes down to what does a team want? Would you rather have a press man cover corner if that's the case? Kool-Aid McKinstry is your guy. If you want a mirror match press man guy, then your guy is going to be Terry and Arnold. He also said that Terry and Arnold struggled at the top of the stem. He didn't really say that with Kool-Aid, right? So, Emilio, what do you think here about our boy Cooper DeJean before we move on?
Adding to that trouble at the top of the stem. I think that's where he was kind of at with Cooper DeJean at outside corner, is when he gets to the top of his stem, his hips are a little stiff in breaking on routes, breaking on the point. So that's where I could definitely see him playing a box, AG playing post, whatever he wants to do. And Jacob hit the nail on the head. Coach did too. If we had a specific role for him, we're good to go. But the way he moves, he's a big athlete that's fast, but it just looks it looks a little blocky, right? But I would be hype at 25 for sure.
And look, we got a comment I can post. He is an outstanding returner. Eric Sutherland is right. That like is an actual another notch where maybe he gets put up another 5-6 before but I thought he could go.
Think he could be a box nickel, safety, whatever, we paid Xavier McKinney and we paid Nixon. So if those are the two spots we see him going in to learn from, and that's how Goody likes to run it, I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. Got it. All right, we're going to go on here with the audio from Ross Tucker and our boy Greg Cosell.
Interesting. Last guy, Rakestraw. Ennis Rakestraw from
Tim, put that camera on. Show us some pearly watch real quick, Tim. I know you smiled. Look at him.
It's funny because before we were going to move on, I was just going to say I like Cooper DeJean, but he's no Ennis Rakestraw.
Here we go. Let's see what he has to say about Rakestraw here.
Yeah, he was a really fun guy to watch because this guy, again, he is super, super competitive. You love the way he plays. He's feisty. He plays with a swagger. He's thin frame, but he never lets that get in the way of his approach and his physicality. Just like Arnold from Alabama, Rakestraw is a really feisty run defender. I mean, physically tough and competitive. I think teams could see him on the outside. They could see him in the slot because he is so competitive. I mean, he played press. He played off coverage. He's got the athletic traits to be successful in both techniques. You know, he's only 183 and 5'11". As I said, that doesn't mean he can't play on the outside. You know, his athletic testing numbers weren't as good as Denzel Ward's when Ward's was the fourth overall pick in the draft, but the size is almost exactly the same. I really liked his tape a lot. I think that I think you can play him on the outside, and I'll be very curious to see where he goes and very curious to see, again, just like you said, comes down to how a team sees him, what their needs are, because he had meaningful snaps in the slot at Missouri in addition to playing outside.
So immediately we think we got to have us a slot corner if indeed Keyshawn Nixon doesn't work out, right? You kind of got him for his return prowess, but you pay him $6 million per, you want to be able to play a slot. I don't think many of us looked at taking someone who could potentially play outside in the base, then kick inside to the slot. And according to Greg Cosell, it kind of sounds like he could do that. So what if Ennis Rakestraw is the pick, right? Whether it's 25 or you're trading down a touch, gathering a couple more picks, take him in the 30s, you come away with Ennis Rakestraw, and he all of a sudden can play outside. And then when you get to your nickel set, kick him inside to slot and then bring in a Valentine or an Eric Stokes, most likely Eric Stokes. You know what I'm saying? And kind of utilize it. It really, when he's describing it, I'm not trying to comp him to Charles Woodson. He's a freaking first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm saying that's how we use Charles Woodson. 34 base, outside. Go to the nickel, he kicked to the slot. That'd be kind of exciting. That's one thing we haven't talked about. That's a potential there for sure. But, Tim, you've got the floor here, man. What'd you think about Greg Cosell kind of raving over your boy?
Now, there's a guy for sure. No, man, that's one of my most favorite things about Rakestraw is he's super sticky in coverage. You know, little bit on the slim side, like right. Yours truly, I can relate. So he gets boxed out. He gets boxed out a little bit if he's going up against, you know, you streak a big tight end across his path, he's going to have a little trouble there. But he's ferocious, man. Really sticky, great athleticism. I like him. And to your point, Clayton, I do. I think he'd be an excellent fit and a good complement to what we're going to be trying to do here in with the 43 defense. I think he'd be a strong attribute to our secondary for sure. I mean, you guys know this already. I don't have to talk him up anymore.
That was just funny, though, man. I heard him talking about him earlier, and I was like, as soon as they said Rakestraw, I went, oh, Tim's heart's either going to be broken or he's going to be completely sold on this guy now, and I think he's completely sold. So PFF, yeah. In 2022, he was the 127th graded corner, right? In 2023, he was 80th. The consensus big board, 47th, when we took the information down. The 33rd team has him in the 17 spot. So they have him worthy of a top 20 pick.
Dude, me and Eric are going to fight, man.
Yo, Eric's coming at you hard, bro. He's coming at you.
I love the shirt there, too.
FM laughing. Hey, Zambito loves you, though. Zambito loves you.
One last thing here. Daniel Jeremiah has him in the 24 spot, too. So, Tim, when it comes to Greg Cosell, he's like my head scout when I build my board, right? Daniel Jeremiah, right, former NFL scout, those two guys think that he is a slam dunk, great corner, first-round worthy cornerback, right? And then the 33rd team has him in the top 20. There's a commonality here. What do you think, Emilio? Would you be okay with Ennis Rakestraw there at 25? Do you think they should trade back? I've got him again in the 33 spot, but I would be okay with them taking him at 25 based off of what these guys said.
Right. Especially if Goody and Halfley have talked and they know that, hey, I can put this kid to work. I don't remember, but I wouldn't be opposed to snagging him if we got a deal on it. I would be a little bit happier maybe with a trade back with Buffalo, get, you know, grab something. Drop a little bit. That was one topic I heard them talking about. Buffalo would be a move up target. I wouldn't be opposed to dropping three spots if the dude they're not looking for to grab. But Rakestraw in the first, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. Emilio!
I like this. Ferguson in the chat says Sutherland don't know ball. He should stick to the Hunger Games. All right, let's keep on going here with the auto. Anybody else got anything they want to add on Rakestraw though? You got anything, Jacob? Or not?
I would just say that I don't logically see in us picking him at 25 just because of the RAS. And I know that's such like a weird, stupid.
It's a real thing though, man.
It's a real thing, but it's similar like the age thing. So don't think it's not going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. We've seen that with Devontae Wyatt and other guys where they will break the mold if they feel like it's worth the while. But in my opinion, if we get him at 41, I'll be popping champagne for Tim all night. Mm-hmm. All right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just have one more thing to add real quick about Rakestraw before we move on real quick.
Hey, again, what he said about him being competitive really perked my ears up. Like, man, him on one side and Jair on the other just talking mad trash.
Xavier McKinney in the back, man. Oh, my gosh, dude.
Right. Yeah. And they said he's willing to come in and put his head down and play the run, which is my biggest thing with a corner. I shouldn't say my biggest thing, but one of the biggest things where I'm just sick of our corners being like, oh should I make the tackle?
Yeah, I love it. Jacob choosing violence in here tonight. I'm with you, man. Have them running that mouth all night long. I can already see him throwing it down, right? Emilio strapping mm-hmm. up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that would be it'd be awesome to have them on the field together. But
and coming in with that kind of tenacity and drive and energy, that's one thing, right? The coach can't sit there and babysit you all day long. So you have to bring something yourself. It's nice that he has that.
All right, we're gonna let this play out. We got about two and a half minutes left of it. We're running short on time, but I want you guys to hear the rest of this talk here between Ross Tucker and Greg Cosell.
What about the safety position, Greg? Was there any guy that really jumped out to you? It doesn't sound like people think there's any two guys, rounders.
And again, I've not been through all of them. So again, maybe there'll be somebody else I like as we continue. But I really like Tyler Newbin.
Who did he like? Who did he like? Let's go.
From Minnesota, and I really like Cole Bishop out of Utah.
Tell me about Newbin.
Tell him about it.
Newbin is one of those guys that he just had a great feel for reading routes, route concepts, route combinations, reading the quarterback at the same time. You know, that is something I'm not sure you can teach that. I think he had an unbelievably innate feel for that. Just recognition of receiver splits, route concepts, and his concurrent ability to trigger with burst and speed, driving on routes in front of him, taking away throws. You know, I think that's, yeah, that might be termed an instinct. You know, that's a word you hear a lot, and a lot of people don't, you know, define it. But he just had a really good feel for that. And I thought that he was really competitive and aggressive playing downhill as an alley defender and gap shooter in the run game. Newbin's a really good prospect. Now, again, you know, he didn't run really, really well, but I think he played with really good range because he saw things so fast.
And Bishop, Greg?
Bishop, I really like. Bishop, again, you know, I'm so leery of making comparisons these days, Ross, because that's all people remember. Okay, so I'm gonna stay away from that. But I really like Cole Bishop's tape a lot. I mean, this guy has really, he's got a desirable combination of size, physicality, athleticism, played on the back end, played in the box, did everything for Utah. You can certainly play him as a post safety in cover one and cover three. You can play him as a split safety in cover two and all variations of cover four. You know, he had a high football IQ. There's a lot to like about Cole Bishop. I mean, he's size, movement, versatility, competitiveness, savvy, intelligence, big-time communicator on the back end for Utah. Again, we don't know what he's doing, but you saw in almost every play, he's communicating with people, and that tells you something.
Check him out on social media.
All right, so there you go. That was the civilian GOAT. Greg Cosell, love what he said about Tyler Newbin, but really the name that keeps getting brought up, man, is Cole Bishop, right? And again, I've got him in the 157 spot, right? Great RAS, all that good stuff. The thing that brings him down the most is his 2023 PFF grade. Emilio, can you pull up Cole Bishop's 2023 PFF grade, or are you logged out now, buddy?
I am logged out, but it'll take me a second. You can just...
Okay, take your time.
Set it up.
Tonight, real quick, while Emil's grabbing that, I was not high on Cole Bishop for the first start of about a month ago. As I started diving more and more, and like you talked about, Clayton, listening to the guys that I trust, because I am not a scout. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But when I watched him on TV, right? Exactly. But when you watched him, I look at guys that I trust, and they're saying that he's a Harrison Smith type, that he's the kind of guy that has one of the best, or not, he has the best RAS of any safeties in the draft. He's 6'2". He's 200 plus pounds. The guy can run a 4.4 sub 40. I mean, the guy is, that to me just says, oh my Lord, like, why would we not take a poke on him? Especially because if you can get him in maybe like the third or fourth rounds, it starts to sound like, that to me is a no brainer. And, I think that he could possibly play multiple positions. I think he was one of those other guys that played like the box, the slot, and maybe other positions as well. So I just think that right there, again, you match him up with McKinney, Jair, a guy like that that's just a thumper. He kind of reminds me of a Jaden Hicks type, but just a little bit more dime store. You know what I mean? You can get him a dollar store. You can get him for a little bit of a discount. And you guys know that I'm cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Five below, yep. Baby. Five below. What you got, Emilio?
Picking him up at Ross, right, Jacob?
Marshalls, maybe.
The 2021, he was 400 snaps, 62.8. 2022, he was a 77 or 75.5. And then 2023, he was a 65.6. So he kind of regressed a little bit in that last year. But I was looking
at it. He was a what? What was he a? In 2020?
He was a 65.6, Tim.
65%.
65%.
That's
what we.
No.
No.
But I was looking at the graph. So last year, May, he was like 50 on the draft board. By December, he was 200, and now he's roughly around 120 on PFFs. So, but the fact that that Greg Cosell is talking about him as, you know, one of the top safeties he's watching, like, the only issue I see is he probably just hasn't gotten to Dadrian Taylor Demerson's tape. That's the only thing that's the only thing.
And hey, listen, we're laughing about that, but he did say, I haven't watched all the safeties yet, right?
Right.
He did specify that, so
right.
Keep that in mind. So if you remove Cole Bishop's 2023 PFF grade, he would definitely be in the top 100 on my board. So that kind of put things into perspective. It's important. I'm not saying you should remove it, but that's what I love about how we set the board up is, like, we can give you those quick, all right, here's what's dragging him down, here's what's propping him up type of thing. And again, there's no information here that's going to suggest, okay, how much of this is the combine hype? Because all this information was put in the system before the combine. We have a little bonus over here, depending on where they scored in the RAS, like Cole Bishop scored in the 9, so he gets a minus 5 there, right? If we were to scroll all the way over, you'll see his final grade is actually a 149.5, okay? So at a 149.5, if we're sorted here in the dark orange column and we were to go up, a 149.5 would probably put him somewhere in the 147 range, right? So as it sits right now. But, and as far as Tyler Newbin, you guys know I've got him as the top safety in the draft right now, and I've got him sitting in the 33rd spot or 32nd spot. Some people are like, how can you do that? He had a bad combine. Like I said, I'm not letting the combine sway me. I understand what Jacob said about RAS. There's no reason to believe that Goody is going to take someone who had less than an 8.3 RAS because the precedent is there, right? In the first round, we should say. You know, obviously right. They broke that threshold last year in the second round, so they're probably not going to spend a first rounder on someone like a Tyler Newbin or someone like a Rakestraw. But again, if they trade back or Rakestraw falls to 41, that's definitely within range. So go ahead, Jake.
Is that the farthest you have Tavondre Sweat actually falling realistically?
That's the beautiful thing about my board. That's where he sits on my board. I do not move him. If they're in trouble, if there's injury like Latu, right, I just light them up in red. So that tells me, okay, be aware. There's an injury. There's personal issues. But I want to know what the true grade is. I don't care what Joe Schmo from Kokomo thinks he should ball on the board because he got caught with a reefer in his car. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about all that. I want to know what he did on the damn field. Here's where he sits on the board. Now you've got to make the personal decision. Where are you willing to draft him? Does that make sense? Like, that's how I kind of build the
board. Yeah, no, I understand that. It's just I was curious because I just wonder how that would match with other NFL's horizontal boards, where that drop would make him.
And when they talk about teams taking players off the board, it doesn't mean they necessarily take them completely off the board. It happens, but most of the time he's off our first-round board. He's off our second-round board. If I had to guess, I would think that Tavondre Sweat probably going to fall somewhere to the third or fourth round would be a good flat guess. But keep this in mind too, guys. He had trouble before, and he said he was over it. He got in trouble again. Set all that to the side. He came in overweight and refused to weigh in at the Senior Bowl. Now, keep in mind, this dude sits at about 370 pounds. So that tells me if he refused to weigh in, he was overweight, over 370 pounds. So now you've got the weight issues. He's not staying disciplined with his weight, all those things. I understand. I actually tweeted a thing out from Coach Deion Sanders earlier today where he talked about some of these rumors are getting kicked around about players by the teams that are interested in drafting them because they're trying to get their draft stock to go down, right? That's a real thing that happens. Tavondre, there's no front office executives that told him to drive under the influence. You know what I'm saying? So this is totally separate. There's no front office executives that told him don't weigh in at the Senior Bowl or don't go get a dozen of donuts. You know what I mean? Like that's on him. Now, there's other guys like a Malik Nabers. That feels like that story's a little bit fabricated, right? And you'll notice on my board, I didn't buy, you know, I was too drunk to taste that chicken. I didn't actually heard him here. If I remember correctly, let's see where I've got Malik.
Right,
Malik Nabers in a 9 spot. And you notice I don't have him lit up red. I'm not buying that rumor. Go ahead.
Somebody's I was just saying he was under Latu, my fault.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. So, yeah, and the Latu thing is going to be very interesting. He's hands down the best edge rusher in this draft. It's just how bad is the neck and how many teams are going to clear him. So, there you go. That's a good conversation, man. I'm glad we got that in. That's great. Jacob, thank you for sending over the Tyke Smith stuff, too, so we could take a look at that. Back to the Twitter poll as we wrap up. I want to do this real quick. Again, ask the same question, our Packers poll question for the pod. If you had to draft one of these DBs with the 25th pick, who would it be? So we asked our Patreon listeners, okay? And Chris Nichols says Terrion Arnold. I think that's probably the pick I would have too, Chris, either him or McKinstry, depending on what style of defense you want to play. Know that. And understand this, guys. There's no wrong answer here, right? I'll show you my board. I want to be 100% transparent, but that doesn't mean I'm right and someone else is wrong. The fact that we've got these Twitter experts that want to come in on a poll and go, oh, my God, 56% of Packer fans voted one way, and you got two knuckleheads jumping in there like they're just got the God's gift to every football player that they understand the draft blows my freaking mind every year. It's hard for me to stomach. So Nodak Mike says Cooper DeJean. Mikey on mute says Cooper DeJean. Ron Sanville said if we have our choice, Terrion Arnold. Randy Cleaver says, I think Cooper is the well-rounded one, more versatile. That's a very good point that there's a lot of value there with the fact he can play safety. He can play slot star. He can play on the boundary possibly. Doug says in the Patreon group said, DeJean gives you flexibility, practically allowing you to pick a cornerback and a safety with one pick. Can't use the rest of the picks elsewhere, or you can use the rest of the picks elsewhere. That's a good point. Jonathan Koch in there says, I like Coop's versatility, but I don't think he is the best fit for a man cover, even though it will still be the minority of defensive snaps. Great point. So the question is to me is whether the safety or a pure corner is the right move. Wiggins is not a size fit from my perspective, talking about how thin he is. So I would go with Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry is really growing on me. I'd be fine with either two of those as well. Mark Zambito says Terrion Arnold is the pick, unlike DeJean, is a true outside corner. The second group of Patreon comments here on the same question said Deadfish says Terrion Arnold. I would take any of these if available at 25. If they were available, I think Arnold is the safest pick. Wiggins' size has me wondering if he will hold up. And DeJean and McKinstry has injury concerns. Valid points there. Although DeJean seems to be past that. Good that you didn't put Quinyon Mitchell on this list, as everyone would pick him. And good you didn't put Rakestraw on the list, as he would have gotten one vote. Smiley.
That's true.
So that, it's funny that he caught that. Deadfish is spot on, because I did. I looked at Quinyon. I'm like, Quinyon's the best corner in this draft, I think. So let's remove Quinyon. In my opinion, he is. It doesn't mean I'm right. And then I seen Rakestraw on the cusp. I'm like, I can't include Rakestraw. We know what's going to happen here, right? So Do You Rant said, Cooper DeJean, I just like his versatility, potential, cornerback, safety, punt returner. Larry Cano said, Arnold, I agree with Deadfish's comments. John Capel says, Cooper DeJean, safety underneath, corner, returner, and gunner, and he is a hitter with muscle to back it, 4 stars. All right. Jake Gotchi says, let's get the Hawkeye teammates back together. Let's get the band back together. We're talking about Cooper DeJean, obviously. And then AZ Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch says, put the trust in Goody to get one of our top needs for the 25th pick. He said, everybody shut the hell up. Just let Goody make this pick. He's got this. All right. So love the trust there. So again, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to all those Patreon members that contributed there. And anyone who wants to support the show, you can join our Patreon group. Just click on the link in the description of this video. That'll send you there. So let's go around the horn one final time. Emilio, you have the floor, sir. Is there anything you want to hit on? Any thoughts provoked there with that Twitter poll or anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up, man?
No. I mean, I like Cooper's versatility, and I would be excited if we got him at 25. I don't, unless Goody's got his eye on someone that we, you know, we have no idea about, I don't see us moving up, hopefully. But I don't know, man. I'm just I can't wait. It needs to come a little bit faster, right? It needs to happen, though.
Yep, I agree, man. It'll be here in no time, though. We are officially, what, 14 days away? Is that right? 13 days away? 14 days away?
Yeah.
13 more sleeps, boys. All right. So, Tim, what you got, buddy? Anything else other than Rakestraw is the man, the myth, the legend?
Yeah, and it's Rakestraw at 58.
Okay. Let's go. Yeah. Put a pin in it. Put it on the ticker. I like it.
No, in all seriousness, though, we were talking about Cole Bishop earlier. I've got Bishop, Hicks, Oladipo, and Javon Bullard kind of all in the same area, but I definitely think Bishop's probably the best out of that bunch for sure. So
my board doesn't suggest that, Tim, but boy, I'm telling you, everyone else is saying it. So I'm sitting back going, hey, I'm leaving my board the way it is, but I'm eager to see. They're probably right, man. You got too many very intelligent football minds saying the same thing, man, for sure. Jacob, what about you, buddy?
Well, it just came to me that I have another conspiracy that I think I may want to.
All right, hold that thought, Tim. Hit that music for him, bro.
Wait, Amelia, were you pointing along with the?
Yeah, I was. I was trying to get your attention.
Okay. You think God never farted?
What do you got, Jacob? What conspiracy you got for us?
So we all saw the group of people that they said was going to be actually coming to the NFL draft. Now,
okay,
I said there's only be one O-lineman. Now, all of a sudden, we've been talking about cornerback. We're talking about safeties. The offensive linemen are getting systematically segregated against so that nobody thinks that they're going to be picked that high, right? And then all of a sudden, teams are going to start not having a draft capital to move up and get them. What I'm saying here is that they're trying to stop us from drafting O-linemen. Maybe we should take a step back. Everybody just chill a minute. We need to trade back out of 25. Like we've talked about, Emilio, maybe 28 with Buffalo would be great. We get ourselves an offensive lineman and we get like a Kool-Aid or somebody like that. And then we chill out. Don't let them manipulate us, guys. What they're trying to do.
Jacob has spoken.
We gotta chill. We gotta think about this rationally.
I love that Jacob is the calm one in the bunch, just trying to keep everybody. Hey, listen, hold the line, like Mel Gibson, right, in The Patriot.
Oh, hold the line.
What are you, Braveheart?
What are you talking? Have you tell me you've seen The Patriot? Have you seen Patriot, The Patriot,
brother?
Yeah.
You said, yeah. Hold up.
I'll have to look it up. Let me.
We're skipping the draft. Another movie
older than he is. Just go easy on him.
We are not watching the draft, Emilio, when you get up here.
I've watched Braveheart like 15 times. I've watched Troy like 100 times.
You have to watch The Patriot tonight, Emilio.
Patriots, right. Hey, it's a little bit longer of a movie, but it is good. They took basically two Revolutionary War figures and combine them into the same kind of character so you could get through this whole process of the Battle of Cowpens, the battle in the South there, basically with the Southern Army and the Revolutionary War. It's so good, man. I actually went to Cowpens Battlefield a couple years ago. Oh, God. You talk about heavy, man. It was just
Heath Ledger's in it.
Yeah. Hey, Heath Ledger, dude, you say what you want about Heath Ledger, man. I was a big Heath Ledger.
Amazing actor. Amazing. Yeah,
God, he was the Joker in that Batman movie. Oh, my God, bro.
It literally took his life. He went so into the character. It took his life, man. It's crazy.
Bro. All right. Patriot, Yo, that's your homework tonight. All right.
I don't want to. This is a weird segue, but.
I don't trust that at all.
OJ Simpson died, so like, whatever. He was a good football player, and I think that we should imagine people, remember people for the things that they did good, but then also like, he's a piece of crap. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got nothing. He was a great football player. Acknowledge him for what he did. It was weird that he got the Heisman Trophy taken away. One of my best things of ever is watching Norm MacDonald and the ESPYs make a joke, and they cut to Charles Woodson about how like,
oh yeah, yeah,
that was Heisman Trophy away from you. Yeah. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, and they will.
Coach Lynn says this just took a dark turn. Listen, since we played the conspiracy music, there is a documentary. You can find it on YouTube. I can't remember the name of it. If you type in, I might get in trouble for even saying this. If you type in OJ Simpson's son did it, go watch it. This private detective did this huge investigation. Perfect, Tim. Everybody's laughing. Bro, if you watch this documentary, you'll come away going, there's no doubt OJ was on the scene that night. We all know that, right? I mean, this dude, blood on his socks, all that, right? But
don't do it, Clayton.
If you watch this documentary, just put it on loop. I'm telling you, man, go watch it because it kind of paints a picture like Jason Simpson, his son, might have done it, and OJ tried to help kind of cover everything up, and then he gets out of it. I'm telling you, there's nothing that doesn't line up on this documentary, but I'm just saying, check it out. Again, I'm not saying OJ was a saint. Listen, I'm supposed to forgive, right? It sucks. There's times that I go, God, this ain't fair, but we're supposed to forgive. Listen,
can I make a really bad joke?
I'll say this. Let's say he did it, right? Let's say he did it. If you believe what the book says, there was a murderer on the cross that got forgiven.
It's true.
So, I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm telling you, it says what it says, and that's all that it says. So,
can I make a really bad joke?
No, you cannot, Jacob. We are done here, sir.
He's been dead for 51 minutes. Let's wait a little bit longer before we do that.
All right.
2 minutes are up, Jacob. All right. My dad used to say to me when I was a kid, and I'm like, I never got that. As I got older, I'm like, oh, he's talking about the phone call from jail. Got it, Dad. I know what that means now. Dude, you made a couple of those, haven't you, Pops?
I'll say this about OJ, not just a great football player, hell of an actor, too, man. I mean, the Hertz commercials.
Naked gun.
Come on.
That's what made the thing so odd. It's like he had the country's heart. People don't realize that. Yeah. There was nobody in the country that didn't like O.J. Simpson. Then you hear about the domestic violence and all the evidence, and it's like, wow, right in front of everybody's face. So, again, guys, go watch that documentary and hit me back up and tell me I'm stupid. You probably will anyway. But I should have looked the doc up. We're at 1 hour and 7 minutes. Mandy's convinced. Mandy watched it. She was like, oh, my God, why is nobody talking about this?
And I love a good conspiracy, so I will totally watch it.
You were loving the link.
I'm not going to make the joke. D. Uran already made it for me.
Dude, come on.
I had to.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to pull it up, see if I can find it real quick. We'll watch it together right now since we're under on time here. Nah. It may be hard to find. I need to run down the right one. But yeah. It's pretty wild stuff. So anyway. Yeah, let's bring it back full circle. Ben Holden. Kay Adams. Is there a strip club named the Oval Office in Brazil? Thank you, Kay Adams.
Hey, she's awesome, by the way. She's so cool.
Yeah.
No doubt. I feel like she'd like this podcast kinda.
Call her up, Jacob. See if we can get her on.
She quote tweeted me once, actually. She quote tweeted something I said about Jordan Love, saying, man, nobody believed in him. And she said, we did, and put it. She replied to me and put, we did, and had a clip of her like talking up Jordan Love before he took over as starter. Pretty cool. So, yeah. Kay Adams is like the cool, like everyone had that buddy that had a sister that was like a sister to you that was just absolutely awesome, like sports, just the coolest chick in the neighborhood type thing, right? That seemed like Kay Adams for sure. Man, mm-hmm. She's awesome. She could talk football with the freaking best of them. So, all right, we're out of here. Jacob, anything else you want to stir up controversial here? No. You want to try to get a We've set the new record for the conspiracy video. Emilio's like, I mowed 32 yards today. I just want to go to bed. Bunch of knuckleheads.
Oh, man.
As Macho Man said, Emilio, I got you for 4 minutes. The cream will rise to the top. All right, we're out. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. This was a lot of fun, as always, man. You guys are awesome in the chat. We had 250 people here going, what in the hell have I stumbled onto right
now? Yeah.
This is weird. So,
for those of all you right. listening on the pod.
There you go. One last look at it.
Oh, we need a new edit, by the way. Thank you, and please.
I got you one right here. That's the gold right there, man.
That one is dope. M. Smitty did a good job on that one.
We need a clearer face, though. We got to clean that up a little bit.
Yeah.
He stole that off YouTube and then adjusted it. That's determination.
I don't want anything done better quality from Smitty because I think this crappy quality makes the image every time.
Yeah.
So. All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Actually, tomorrow's Friday. It may be date mocking it tomorrow. We'll see what happens. We'll see if you guys are available. If I ain't got anything going on, we may go live. If I get done with work early, we may go live late afternoon or something too. So I'll let you guys know. So
hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
How do you like your eggs in the morning? All right. Everybody have a good evening. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. Special shout out to Mr. Larry Cano. Larry Cano, and we don't have it yet, but he's offering to make a little donation of some really cool memorabilia. If he does, we're going to do a giveaway, and that one is going to be geared around a charity of some sort. Because Larry is just absolutely awesome like that. I don't even want to announce it because, Larry, no pressure. If it falls through and you don't do it, it's totally cool. I appreciate you even thinking about us. But we are going to be doing a giveaway for Thursday night, round one of the draft. We're going to be giving away an autographed Paul Hornung jersey, the golden boy that played for Coach Lombardi. We're going to be giving that away for anyone who is a Patreon member. We're going to put you guys on the wheel, spin it, and give that jersey away on night one of the draft. Excited about that. So everybody have a great night. And as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. Jacob, pull it together, buddy. Go Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.